Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me. My name is Bradley Shaw, and today on Between the Covers, I'm talking to author John Michel, who's written a wonderful novel coming out in November called Weather Over Mendoza. John is a very talented writer. He's created quite a story here with The Weather Over Mendoza. It's a fast-paced, no-hold-bars account of late-night introspection, I apologize with my announcement, of Adrian Ashton's tale as it weaves a taut conclusion to answer a philosophical question: is Adrian the victim or the villain? Good evening, John. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Brad.
Quite an intro and summary of this book. Tell us more about it, please.
It's a long story, like I guess a lot of books are, but I had this idea for a long time about writing a book about a man bereft of hope. And I suppose from that very simple viewpoint, I started writing the book. And I'm a seat of the pants writer, so I don't plot things out terribly much. And so it just sort of evolved organically. And I do have an interest in the Cold War period. I was living in Russia at the time when the Soviet Union collapsed, and that's had a pretty profound effect on me. So the book just goes on about a bloke who's going to face his moment of truth, and he reflects back. He's introspective, as you said. He reflects back on his life and a number of events in it which fill the chapters in between, and that reaches its climax at the finish.
Fantastic. And was it difficult to research? You said you lived in Russia yourself, but was there other elements that you had to research? I mean, the MI6 in there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yes, it's a bit of research, and it's also checking facts. You might have I tend to blend fiction with fact, and of course you've got to have your facts right and to make sure everything fits together. I talk a little bit, funnily enough, about the Queen's coronation in 1953 in the book. That's a pretty vague sort of reference, but it does appear in, I think, one of the better parts of the book, actually. And I just had to be careful that I had the dates right and things like that. So, there's a lot of researching, but I did have the benefit of the experience of living there, so I had a lot of things in my mind as well, which may not necessarily find their way into the book, but they give you ideas that you can build on and come up with a plot.
Absolutely. Would you say what sort of comparatives would you make to this book in other writers that you know in this sort of genre, just for the listeners?
Well, that's a very difficult question, because I'm not silly enough to try and go head-to-head with people like the great Le Carre or Len Dayton or people like that. So I tend to think that I have my own way of writing. I think it's probably a laconic style of writing or conversational style of writing. And I guess, like all writers, have my views about what works and what doesn't, but it certainly takes inspiration from a lot of stuff I read about the Cold War, and that, of course, includes Le Carre and people like that. But as I said, I don't try to replicate Le Carre, which would be foolish.
Yep.
I'd come off a very distant second. but it's that Cold War era has a certain gravitas to it that appeals to me.
Yep.
Having said that, I hasten to add that the spying references in the book are pretty broad brush. That the actual story is what goes on around the background of the spy.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting you centralised around a character. A lot of these stories weave through heavy plots with a lot of elements and the bad guys, the good guys, and all these mysteries and traumas. You've really introverted the style of the story into a character's singular perspective and then evolved his interactions. Was that difficult to do? Was it difficult to sort of pull the story into a singular character sort of profile?
Yeah, definitely. But I did it because at times one of my earlier writing efforts, a book called The Far Grass, which is still out there somewhere, But I think it, on reflection, it might have had too many characters in it. And and I think you go to one of the real strengths of Weather Over Mendoza is that it's quite a contained novel in the sense that, sure, there are characters introduced as you go along, but there's not a proliferation of them. And the book is quite contained, and you're not continually introducing new plots and new scenarios, but you're not introducing new characters to go with it.
Yeah, that's right. So the style can be quite more focused, which is good. So when you're doing that too, you mentioned earlier, how do you keep track of your story? Like as you're writing it through and you stop for a day or a week and then you got to come back to it. And you said you don't really plan it out. Do you know instinctively where you're at, where you're going, where you're going to end up, or you'd have to have some idea? What's the writing process like for you for that?
That is an amusing question in a way, because a lot of my revelations come to me about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I realise that what I've written in that chapter contradicts something that went on beforehand, and then you get up and fix it. But look, the answer is in editing, as it is in everything, I think, and you've got to go through and just make sure you have no contradictions, that everything sort of follows in a realistic sort of way. You can't have one character being this and then being something else and that sort of stuff. So, look, I think the easy answer is editing. You've just got to go through it, and you look at a particular scene, you say, well, that's not quite consistent with what's gone on before. And so then you have to adjust it, or an action they take may be inconsistent with what's gone on before. And if it's not explainable, then you've got a book that the reader will say, well, hang on, he was doing this and now you've got him doing that and there's no good reason for it. So I think that's the sort of approach I take. But like I said, a lot of this comes to me in the early hours of the morning and I think, oh, hang on, I can't really have him doing this because of that. That's
Now, absolutely, I agree. You've got to set out some mind plan, any mind map of your own as well in the style. And in that as well, how long does it take you to write a book? What's your plan for a timeline of writing?
That's another good question. Look, I'd say a year, but honestly, you could edit until the cows come home, really, because I very much doubt that even the great authors have ever written something that they couldn't stand to change here or there. But sooner or later, you get to a... I used to have this saying when I was working in other fields, this threshold of acceptability, that sometimes you get to a threshold point where to try and go beyond that is probably not worth the cost of doing it. But I'm a very hard marker of myself. In fact, I'm my own most strident critic. And so I think my threshold of acceptability is very, very much up the top end of excellence.
Yes, I agree with you on editing. You do have to draw a line in the sand and have a point of no return and say, that's it, that's as good as it's going to get. So now you've written a number of books and so you're quite experienced in that. You're quite well educated. So for you, what are the challenges in these books that you find mostly, like when you are writing, and where do you come up for this book, Weather Over Mendoza, what was a challenge that you faced and you found difficult?
Yeah, look, I think coherence, we were sort of just talking about that in a way. I think coherence is one of the biggest things. But I'm very big on being earthy. It is an earthy book, and people can take that as a euphemism for whatever they wish. But it's important not to be gratuitous. I mean, to give a rather silly example, you know, you wouldn't describe someone fat if you don't need to describe them as fat, I think. Yep. But if you do need to describe them as fat, well, then you describe them as fat, I think.
That's right. It's subjective. So also on that topic, you've written a lot of books, as I was saying. So how do you determine the book you want to publish? Because, I mean, a lot of writers, I hear stories, some write stories, they've got them sitting in drawers for years. They don't think, I'm not going to get, it's not the one, or is it the one? How did you decide that this book, Weather Over Mendoza, was that worthy to be then set up into the next stage?
Well, I think the reason that I like to write Brad and have aspirations as a writer is because I have an imagination. And, you know, I often think of particular scenarios, and sometimes, you know, you take inspiration from books you might have read or films you might have seen. I don't mean the whole thing. It's not a lift of that particular plot, but it's just an aspect of it. And like I said, Weather Over Mendoza is essentially about a solitary man sitting there waiting for his moment of truth, waiting, you know, the walls closing in around him. And the inspiration, the very germ of the idea was from a film I saw once a long time ago, where in the closing credits the main character sat in a cabin in the woods somewhere in the United States, and he was so bereft of hope he was preparing to die of hypothermia. And excuse me, that was the reason that that concept grabbed me, and it was from that very concept that I built Weather Mendoza and bolted on things that went to experiences or things that I think are humorous. I mean, it's a book that's not all serious, but it's got, I think, a lot of dry humour in it as well. So, just certain things that appeal to you as a writer.
Yeah, and in that writing context, taking it into the next level of publication and putting it in the hands of a reader, what are you hoping that the readers and the listeners today will get out of that book?
I think the niche that Weather Over Mendoza fills is its readability, to be quite honest. It's also a novel that avoids a lot of the contemporary issues that I think polarise and plague society. Mm-hmm. It is a yarn, it's an adventure, it's pure entertainment. And I think it's the sort of thing on a cold Sunday afternoon that someone might take the book and curl up for a couple of hours, and it's very readable. It won't abrade people, where I think, as I say, there's a lot of issues around today that people have one view and others have a quite diametric opposite view. So it avoids a lot of that stuff and what you might call the isms that are abounding these days. So I think it's a book that's very readable and very entertaining. And at the end of the day, unless you're trying to educate yourself or learn about a subject, I think you do read books for entertainment. And I think it really ticks that entertainment box.
And I agree. You've written a marvellous book. I enjoyed it. And I think a lot of readers are going to enjoy it. And if I may just mention too that Weather Over Mendoza is available as of November in all good bookshops and your libraries. You can order it or pre-order it as well online and support independent authors, putting their mark on Australian culture and history and literature. So, John, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you, Brad. Great pleasure.
Everybody listening, please continue and do support independent authors. Grab a copy of Weather Over Mendoza and take care. Until next time on Between the Covers, thank you for listening and see you all next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.